You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
It's Friday and we're rolling along. I'm Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, and then Sean Mapes is behind the glass as always. What a win it was yesterday for the Stros in Cleveland, game one of a four-game series against the Guardians. Chaz McCormick and Maldy really responsible for most of the runs, and then Justin Verlander was vintage, unbelievable Justin Verlander. Six innings pitched, two hits, no runs, and five strikeouts.
I like the way you said it. It was very easy.
He's just so good.
It's just what you expect from him this year. It's great to have this. It really is just the ultimate stopper, having a guy like Justin Verlander say things do hit the fan for this team. And let's be honest, there have been a couple of series of late that we're not thrilled with. The series against Oakland, the series against Boston. But when you got a guy like this, you expect a victory every single night with the way that he's pitching. I hope we're not taking it for granted. We don't know if this is going to be the last year for Justin Verlander. I'm of the belief it probably is. I hope I'm wrong. I really would be very impressed if James Click is able to find some creative way to keep Verlander for the next couple of years. But we know Verlander wants to pitch until he's 45, and there probably will be a team out there after the season's done that says to him, yeah, we're willing to eat it for 3, 4, 5 years or something like that if we can get the next 2, 3 years of Justin Verlander.
It's been impressive. He comes here from Detroit. Brent Strom does some work with him, and he's able to get him back to what he was, and he's just been absolutely dominant. When you look at the fact that it's another quality start, so that's easing it up on the bullpen. Mm-hmm. You look at the fact that he's thankfully getting some run support, you know, thanks to Chaz and Maldy, and we'll talk about that lineup in a second, and Dusty Baker. It's just really impressive. He's almost 40 years old, and he's a 9-time All-Star, and you could argue that he's pitching the best he's pitched.
Right. It's nuts. I mean, it was Ben Verlander who posted the numbers of him 10 years ago to where they're at right now. And it's hard to have this kind of longevity as a pitcher. I would point to some of the guys who have had runs where they were extremely dominant. My favorite player growing up before Tom Brady was Pedro Martinez with the Boston Red Sox. And Pedro had a stretch, 98... 99 in particular, where he should have won MVP, but he didn't. And 2000, where it was just absolutely incredible what he was doing every single night. And then he wasn't quite the same guy after that. Like, he had that brief little window. And Verlander has had, like, multiple windows where he has been, like, one of the most dominant pitchers out there. It's going to be tricky for him to get to the, you know, 300 wins. He's pretty far off on that. And some of the other traditional numbers as far as pitchers get, like, back in the day versus where we're at right now, I think that you just had easier opportunities for some of those guys to get to, like, the 300 win club and stuff like that. But, I mean, it is history what you are seeing. Like, this is very clearly the second best pitcher in Astros history if you are a giant Nolan Ryan stan. But, I mean, I'm sure you could make a pretty compelling case that he's been better.
All right, so there was some response to the lineup last night. No Mancini, no Vasquez.
Yeah, and I'm not going to lie, Vanessa. My gut reaction is, what the hell is Dusty doing? Kyle Tucker got scratched last second, and you're not going to put Mancini in. You've had three games with Mancini. He has started in one of them. I get it. You have some depth, but that's a guy that should be playing every single day. Aledmys Diaz is playing well of late, so maybe you want to continue to ride with him. But, putting Chaz McCormick in, I'm not going to lie. I know he had a good night last night, but I'm still scratching my head and wondering why that's the guy that you're trying to find a way to squeeze into the lineup.
You got to think Mancini's in the lineup tonight.
You would think so. And, you know, when we talk to Mike Stanton, maybe he has some ideas as to how they can manage a very strange plethora of depth at first base where you have Mancini, Gurriel's playing better, and you have, like, corner outfielders who can play corner outfield, but you probably don't want them in corner outfield, and Yordan Alvarez and Mancini as well. It's a lot of weird, like, little complicated things, and, you know, with no Michael Brantley and with not the best center field options, it's Jake Myers for Chaz McCormick. I really wonder what the best way of using all of those players is. I just know that I think people that were frustrated with Dusty Baker going into last night's game were merited, and that a nice night at the plate by Martin Maldonado and Chaz McCormick doesn't mean that anyone who questioned it is wrong.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I would like to see what Trey Mancini can do. One of the things that Dusty kept talking about is that he really likes that he's versatile. Actually, James Click said that too. We like the fact that Mancini can do a lot of different things and a lot of different positions. So let's try it out. I mean, I don't know how long Kyle Tucker is going to be sick. It didn't sound like it was COVID. I don't know. But I would like to see, you know, what Mancini can do. And you know, people questioning Dusty's lineup is nothing new for sure. The Astros schedule coming up, by the way, Cleveland. Then they face the Rangers, the Athletics, and the White Sox. So as long as Oakland doesn't Oakland them like they did last time, it's a good couple series. They can get some wins for sure.
That's so annoying that Oakland is this random Lego that you step on.
Yeah.
Ow! Nothing more painful than that, by the way. Stepping on a Lego. Ow.
Yeah, very. But I have a little brother. That's extremely painful. All right, so important information with the Texans. So the charges have been dropped against Darius Anderson. If you guys remember, that was a crazy, confusing situation. It was that he was going to be charged possibly with
burglary and attempted rape.
Yeah, because the report was that he broke into his girlfriend's house and tried to assault her. Then it got dropped down to just burglary. And now, per Aaron Wilson, his lawyer said that security footage proved that Darius Anderson did not break into his former girlfriend's home, and the case is dismissed due to lack of evidence. Quote, the DA's office did the right thing, so said the lawyer.
Hmm. Always difficult to make comments on this because you don't have the information available. And I'm not going to lie. When I heard, like, I don't know who Darius Anderson is, these charges are potentially on the table. When I first saw that news story, I did kind of assume, oh, well, he's getting cut. That doesn't necessarily mean that he was guilty or something like that.
Right.
I guess I'm curious as to where this goes next. I think really as far as a lesson for those who are listening to Sports Talk Radio, but others out there too. When stories like this come out, you got to try your best to not rush to judgment. And I will throw a hand up. Like I thought, yeah, he's going to get cut immediately when I saw
that story. Would have been a bummer. I mean, he's a local guy, right? Like he's from Richmond. He went to George Ranch, went to TCU. So I am excited. He's a running back. Who knows what he's going to do? You literally never know. It's unpredictable. But I thought the same thing. I thought
loaded depth chart.
With
he's
everything,
uphill battle.
With everything that they're going to do with that they've had to do with Deshaun Watson, even if it wasn't the Texans' fault, we know that they don't like, you know, bringing in troubled players or keeping them on the squad. But yes, in the age of social media and in the age of Twitter, it is very easy to get online and just absolutely rip somebody or say the Texans should cut him.
Right.
It seems like, again, haven't seen the video, but that it's actual evidence that was able to get him out of this.
There you go. It'll be tough for him to move up that depth chart, though. I mean, right now...
You always want the local kids to make it, but the stories don't always work out.
And from what I've seen out there, Marlon Mack and Rex Burkhead are definitively on the roster. There's other guys who are fighting, and Damian Pierce has been pretty electric to watch. Again, it's weird to determine what is and what isn't because they're in full pads, but you're not allowed to bring people down to the ground. Practice is so confusing now. I not to be old school guy, get off my lawn, boomer, but I really wish that practices were full contact the way that they used to be.
Yeah, I mean, they used to be twice a day, every day in the summer heat, full pads. Like, that's what I grew up watching, and that wasn't that long ago.
Right.
A lot of it has to do with injury experts that used to I mean, it has to do with all of the quote-unquote safety with concussions and whatnot. I get it, but to your point, you just don't see as much.
No, you don't. And, I mean, look, that's one of the perks that the players actually did get in the CBA, but then again, you know, anyone who's mad about a lack of due process in the NFL Players Association for maybe someone like, I don't know, Deshaun Watson, like, this is what you took. You took less practices for Roger Goodell to still have all the power over you. So congratulations on the less practices, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, MLB vet and my coworker Mike Stanton joins the show. That's coming up next.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we are rolling along on a Friday, and I must admit I'm a big fan of our next guest. He's a former left-handed MLB pitcher, played for 8 different squads, a World Series champion, and he is an analyst on AT&T Sportsnet, Mike Stanton. Hi!
Vanessa, how are you doing today?
Good, how are you? It's been so long since I've seen you, since you helped me
find my
car last night.
It's been like hours, right?
Guys, I couldn't find my car last night.
How'd you lose your car?
I just forgot where I parked, and Mike, being the gentleman that he is, since we left the studio late, helped me find it. So I promise today I will.
Well, thank you, Mike. I needed that.
Yes, remember where I parked.
Yeah, Paul, I will tell you, I did have to pick on her about that. You know, we did. We weren't just walking
Good.
The streets. I was like, really? You can't remember where your car is? Are you kidding?
You got to find a landmark of
so
something.
I had to give her a little bit of flack.
Downtown Houston at night. So very thankful for Mike. Mike, we talked about it at length on our show, pregame and postgame. Justin Verlander just having an unbelievable year. Where is he at, in your opinion, in the Cy Young race? And what's your prediction there?
You know, that race is so close, but I have, you know, he's one of the top three, at least, probably top two. He may even be leading, depending on what category you're looking at. But, you know, he's in such a great place mentally. As you get older, you know, you want to be able to kind of step back and smell the roses and kind of pay attention to where you are. And that's something that I can sympathize with him early in his career. That, you know, he didn't do that. There was so much drive. It was always about the next pitch. It was always about the next game. And not really being able to, you know, keep your perspective on everything.
Right.
But I thought that, I think right now with him missing basically 2 years, with him doing everything that he's done, not knowing, you know, coming back from a major injury, not knowing if he's, you know, even going to be able to pitch again. You know, he's in such a great place. We're seeing a bit more personality. He's smiling in his post-game interviews. He's doing so many different things. And I think he's just in such a great spot just simply because of all the trials and tribulations he's been through.
Mike, I hate to think this far down the road, but he did reach his 130-inning mark. So now if he so chooses to, he can opt out of his contract at the end of the year. And I imagine with a guy pitching at this level, even if he is, you know, getting up there in age, there will be quite the market for him should he decide to opt out this offseason and get paid, as he deserves to get paid. What do you see Verlander's future past this season here with the Astros? Do you feel like this is the last run?
It's such a tough question, just simply because you don't know what's going to happen the last, well, we'll call it 3 months, because the Astros are going to make the playoffs. I don't expect him, if everything stays status quo and he still keeps pitching well, whether he wins a Cy Young or not, doesn't matter. You know, the Astros, you know, let's say they go deep or even maybe win the World Series. He's in such a good place here in Houston. You know, he's not chasing the dollar anymore. You know,
right.
He's not chasing the big contract. And, you know, if he goes somewhere else and, yeah, maybe he makes a little bit more money, you don't know what the situation inside the clubhouse is going to be. And, you know, he's been here for so long. He's, you know, there's been so much water under the bridge here in Houston. I think it would be very difficult for him to leave. You know, I just think he's in a good place with this organization.
I know Astros fans definitely feel the same. Mike Stanton joining us now on Vanessa and Gallant. Let's talk about this pitching staff as a whole. Everybody from Jose Urquidy to Lance McCullers Jr., who obviously is getting some starts at the AAA level. What do you think is their Achilles heel, if there is at all, because they've been so strong all year?
You know, I don't know if there really is one. I think if there's the one thing you're always going to question is going to be health. And now they're all healthy, and Lance is getting pretty close to coming back. But again, you know, you got 2 months left of the season. They've got a big lead. They've pitched so incredibly well, whether it's the rotation or the bullpen. It's truly remarkable to see what they've done. Whether it's, you know, because you got to remember coming into the season, there was a lot of question marks. You didn't know if Justin Verlander was going to be okay. You didn't know if he was going to handle the workload.
Right.
All those other young pitchers had all pitched more innings last year than they ever had. You had the COVID year a couple of years ago. I mean, there's just so many things, but they have absolutely answered every question in a positive manner, and I don't really foresee, an issue going forward. But the problem is a lot of times you don't see the issues until the issues are already upon you.
Former pitcher Mike Stanton with us, also AT&T Sportsnet Southwest with Vanessa. So, Mike, there's been a lot of second-guessing about the way Dusty Baker has managed his new toys, Trey Mancini, and Christian Vasquez as well, and specifically because in the first three games that they've been with the Astros, they've only played in two of them. My question to you is, if you're the manager, if you're Dusty Baker, what would the best way be to manage this lineup where you have Yuli Gurriel at first base, but now you have Mancini. You have some shaky outfield depth at this point in time, too. And, of course, Maldonado is renowned as a great help to his pitchers, but maybe not quite the bat of Christian Vasquez, although last night was pretty good. How would you manage all of this?
Well, Paul, that's way above my pay grade. And that's really the issue that a manager has. Now that everybody's got the DH, working the bullpen is really the biggest in-game job that you have. But, prior to that, it's trying to keep everybody happy on the bench. And when you bring in three new players, especially three veteran players, three players that were starting, two of them were starting position players prior to coming into your team, that's an issue. It's a good issue to have. That want so many guys. They all want to play. They all want to be in the lineup. But it's an issue nonetheless because you have to try and find to keep them getting their at bats, to keep their timing, keep them happy, all that kind of stuff. And I think they're going to continue to do. The one thing that Dusty has now that maybe he didn't 15, 20 years ago is. There's no such thing as an everyday player anymore. Everybody is taking off days. Everybody is going to get additional time off. You're not going to play, 29 out of 29 games. You're just not going to do it. They want to keep everyone healthy. They want to keep everyone rested. So there's going to be times that you can mix and match. And, the guys that are coming in, Christian Vasquez, I think, understands what the deal is with Maldonado. That Maldi is, he's been here, he's worked this pitching staff the whole season, the last several seasons, and he is the guy. But we also saw that Christian Vasquez is a pretty stinking good catcher with working with Urquidy the other night, and Urquidy having arguably his best start of the season. And then Trey Mancini, he's just such a great dude. He's an incredible story. And you look at him and you go, okay, he truly does believe that I'm just here to help the team win. I'm wherever you want me to do, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And that's a great attitude to have. And it does take some pressure off of Dusty as far as trying to get at bats.
What do you see Trey Mancini's role being? Because we heard James Click and Dusty say that they really liked that he's versatile and that he can do a lot of different things.
Well, I think that, when you started this, all the trade talks and everything, Yuli was really still kind of struggling. Well, a few games before the trade deadline, since the trade deadline, Dusty put him in the two hole. And since then, he's been getting very positive results. So, I think it's going to be, he's going to play some first, he's going to play some left, he's going to DH, he's going to kind of just move around and be maybe that super, another one of those super utility guys, a lot like Aledmys Diaz, to try and, spell some of these guys and again, keep him getting his at-bats that he needs so he keeps his timing. It's a daunting task, to say the least. When you have this many veteran players, you got players that have track records, but you're still trying to win baseball games and keep the clubhouse in a good mental state. I mean, it's not an easy job, and that's why, everybody can't be a big league manager. You got a lot of things going on at the same time.
Mike, I know you won three World Series in a row, went to four World Series in a row back in the day with New York, and I imagine that you've been getting a kick out of watching the captain if you have been able to catch it. I guess when you look at where the Astros are right now, obviously no three rings in a row, four World Series appearances in a row, but it is a pretty similar stretch of dominance. From having been a part of that team and obviously covering this team on a daily basis, do you see any similarities between those two?
Well, I, you know, as far as the personnel of the team, you know, not really. They're you know, they're so different. There are similarities, but I think what you see that's more important is just their attitude, just the way, you know, both teams go into every single day expecting to win. You know, they don't, you know, last night they left, the Astros left eight guys on in the first three innings. And, you know, that can be, that can throw a lineup kind of into a tizzy just simply because, oh my gosh, all these opportunities, how many more opportunities are we going to have? Well, no, they didn't panic. They just kept putting quality at bats together. They end up hitting a couple balls hard, hit a couple balls out of the ballpark, and all of a sudden, you got a little bit of a laugher last night. And I think both teams, that was the one thing that you did. You looked at and you say, okay, they're such a veteran team. They've all been there. They've all done it. They're not going to panic. And, you know, whether they get the job done or not, you know the mental approach is going to be there. And I think that's the sign of a great team, that you're able to keep that even keel attitude regardless of what's going on the field, just simply because all the experience you've had in the past.
Former MLB pitcher Mike Stanton, we really appreciate your time and your perspective, and I'll see you in a few hours.
Thanks, Mike.
I do promise to keep track of my car tonight.
Yeah, we'll actually put, you know, get the parking app to make sure and mark it so we know exactly where you are.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, we appreciate Mike. Your time.
Anytime, guys. Bye.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're going to talk a little bit more about the MLB, NFL, that Hall of Fame game. But first, let me tell you about our friends at BUSR. Football season, guys, right around the corner. Start winning money with BUSR. BUSR.com/ESPN. You double your deposit within the first 24 hours. Do you have an NFL futures bet that you know will cash in? The Texans have an over-under set at 4.5 games right now. Do you think they're going to win more? Maybe you think they're going to lose every game because you're a hater. How about this? You can still get the Astros at plus 400. Go to BUSR.com/ESPN right now. Start placing your bets. Maybe you like blackjack. Maybe you're more of kind of a roulette guy. The good news for you is you can do blackjack, roulette, place bets, all of that at BUSR.com/ESPN.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we're rolling along. Happy Friday, TGIF indeed. Why aren't you singing Gwen Stefani? You always sing Gwen Stefani.
Well, because when you say Friday, I think
you
about
think of
the
Rebecca
best
Black.
Friday
fair,
song,
fair.
Which is Friday.
That's the Paul I know and love.
7 a.m., gotta go to the show. 8 a.m., gotta go to Texas practice.
Guys, there was NFL last night, technically.
In the backseat. Oh, my God. It started off with a roughing the passer.
Well,
it
started off with a lightning rain delay and broadcasters being incredibly awkward and trying to fill time, which is one of my favorite things. Because here's the thing. If you're a national broadcast, you need to know the weather and you need to know about the possibility. So they were just like throwing up random graphics and Jack Collinsworth is like, who's your favorite Hall of Famer? Be prepared. I digress. Love the folks at NBC. But yes, it did start with a very, let's just say it seemed like the referees were still in preseason form as well.
Ref show. That roughing the passer. Look, I get it. Roughing the passer is in there to protect quarterbacks, but I hate it. I think they should get rid of it. I think quarterbacks shouldn't be allowed to slide. I feel like football should go back to its roots, playing in lightning.
There you go.
Back in my day, played in lightning, right? Well, I mean, you're wearing plastic helmets. You should be okay, right? That doesn't conduct electricity.
They're asking for it when they have it in Ohio in an open high school stadium. It's a cool concept every year.
Remember
but
when the field melted and they had to cancel the game? That was funny because it also happened, I think, in Mexico. But there was another time where the field just melted. They're like, all right, well, I guess we're canceling it.
Hopefully no rain delays. It's supposed to be a little rainy in Cleveland, so I'm knocking on wood.
Oh, yeah, I forgot because the Astros are in Cleveland, too.
They are at Progressive Field where there's no roof.
The Astros could have gone to the game last night.
Maybe they did.
Maybe they did. Good point. You had Mark Davis eating wings.
That was great. I want somebody to love me the way Mark Davis loved chowing down on those wings. And can I just also say that I love that he was in an owner's suite and he didn't have a filet mignon or scallops or a fancy
wings.
Charcuterie board. That man with his $5 haircut was eating wings.
I'm sorry. He needs help. I have a person. You see my haircut? Does my hair not look freaking awesome today?
How about the Mets?
See, don't change the subject just because you see it on SportsCenter. I will give him, I will point
I
him
love it.
To my hairstylist, Annie, who is amazing.
Mark Davis, don't ever change, baby. I love the $5
it's
haircut.
It's a terrible haircut,
I love
dude.
That he's eating wings instead of and cheap jeans. He's just like us, only he's a billionaire.
I don't care.
He's the only billionaire that I actually think is a man of
he
the people
looks
legitimately.
So dumb with that hair. I'm
no.
sorry. I can't
Sean,
take him seriously.
You're the tiebreaker.
I think the issue here is you're saying he's one of us, and Paul's like, he is not like me in any way.
That's true.
Paul's like, I am not like Mark Davis in any way.
I don't want to be.
I like
blue
it. Collar. I like it. Man of the people.
I wouldn't want to sit with him with that hair.
You would sit with any billionaire.
If I did not know he was a billionaire, which, by the way, I don't think he's a billionaire because he looks like that, then how would I know? You don't know that a person's a billionaire when you see them in public unless it's like a prominent person.
Yeah, but
person.
If you know it's Mark Davis. Mark Davis complimented my smile when I saw him at Super Bowl,
oh,
so I'm
wow.
always going to like Mark
oh,
Davis.
Oh, there we go. The truth comes out. Yeah. That's why you love him. I like him just because
nice
he's kind of a goofball.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I like that too.
Yeah, but he was, by the way, Mark Davis, not exactly the best track record of late going on with the Las Vegas Raiders.
True.
So
my only criticism, he needed more ranch on the wing. I didn't see, it wasn't slathered in ranch the way that it needs to be.
I don't like ranch.
What?
Yeah, I don't like ranch.
Just like at all?
No, not really. No, I you know what? If you're having a good wing, you don't need to dip it in anything, right? Like, it's supposed to have a good sauce on the exterior of it. So, generally, when I get wings, and now my mouth is watering, I like the honey, not the honey garlic, the spicy garlic. Give me the spicy garlic wings. Oh, my God.
You don't like ranch on anything, though?
No, not really, no.
Like celery, carrots,
no.
baby not carrots on
must
like
Must not be a
appetizer.
Thing in Boston. I will dip almost anything in a good quality ranch. Not a Hidden
phrasing?
Valley fan. And ironically, I don't really like ranch on salad. I think ranch is for dipping. On salad, I'll do like a vinaigrette or balsamic, something like that, some olive oil. Like, you don't need to put ginormous amounts of ranch. But on wings, I love. Shout out to Mark Davis. He's one of us.
Honestly, it's been so long since I've had ranch. I should try it again to see if like my taste buds have changed its mind.
You're classier than I am. Let's be honest.
Well, that not liking ranch doesn't mean I'm classy. I'm really picky.
You're into the sauce.
The finer things.
The finer things in life.
Much more of a barbecue sauce guy than I am a ranch.
Good barbecue sauce goes hard. Trayvon Walker looked good. It's hard to first game as a rookie, but the number one overall pick. I loved a comment Chris Collinsworth made when they were talking about the AFC, and he said, I see 13 teams in the AFC that could go to the Super Bowl, which
13.
Is hyperbole, of course.
There's 16 teams in the conference.
But it made me think about how good the AFC is. And listen, this is the preseason, so there haven't been some of the inevitable injuries that we're going to see amongst these teams. But when you look at the AFC overall, who's a team that you think that you can just immediately eliminate from playoff contention?
Okay. Well, I'm thinking really hard. Did go to a team practice. No. I will say 100%. Jaguars, you're out.
I'm going to go with the Jets. There's no way the Jets, unless they have some. I think they've made massive improvements
for
the future.
Loser organization.
But for right now, there's no way. Sean Mapes, what say you?
I mean, the Jaguars are such an easy choice that they can be so much better than they were last year and still be nowhere near good enough to make the playoffs. This is just AFC teams, right?
Just AFC.
Who else can you think of?
And Chris Collinsworth, one of the Collinsworth that was on TV yesterday, they said make the Super Bowl, right?
I thought it was Super Bowl. That's what I heard.
Make the Super Bowl.
When I heard the soundbite on Good Morning Football. Now, I could have misheard
Browns,
it.
Browns, out.
I will pick the team that is starting Mitch Trubisky or Kenny Pickett with maybe Mason Rudolph stealing the starting job.
Steelers, you're out.
You're not winning the Super Bowl.
Any other teams
you're
you
not
can
going
think
to
of?
The Super
it's not an AFC team.
That you would eliminate from winning the Super Bowl.
From winning the Super Bowl.
In
I
the
mean,
AFC. If any other team you can think of just right now.
Am I allowed to say the one here?
What do you mean? Well, you're eliminating. Wait, why?
D-
You're limiting the Texans now from winning the Super Bowl.
You didn't like what you saw at camp?
I think they look good. I think they're on the right track.
Well, good is enough in some situations.
But are they even going to be able to win their division with the Colts and Titans?
I mean, the way you say it, like the Colts and Titans, not exactly that impressive. Hey, look, we're the Colts. We're going to be just good enough to say they're slightly good.
I do think the Texans will be better than the Lions. And that brings us to our next subject. Dan Campbell, who the Lions are on Hard Knocks, right? So Dan Campbell has had all these fun sound bites throughout his first year as head coach where he said, we're going to like bite your kneecaps off. Here's a fun one from Mr. Campbell.
What are we? What makes us what we are?
Oh, my God.
And what we're going to be. It's our core foundation, man. Grit.
We're lying.
And what does it mean? In a nutshell, I think it means this. We'll go a little bit longer, we'll push a little harder, and we'll think a little deeper and a little sharper. It means we're unbreakable. Like, to me, it means we'll play anywhere. We'll play on grass. We'll play in turf.
Oh, my God.
We'll go to a landfill. Doesn't matter. And that's what we got to be. That's who we have to be.
Asphalt.
Because we'll tread water as long as it takes to bury you.
Ooh.
Let's go to work, man. It's about to be fun. O&D.
Can you bury someone in water.
He's the ultimate football guy. He said, we'll play on a landfill.
Look, I want him to do well. He seems like a nice guy, and he's also like just a delightful meathead. But anyone who's sitting through that meeting, you're like, okay, what is this for? Especially with Hard Knocks on you. Like, don't you know that Dan Campbell's probably hamming things up just a little bit? Sean Mapes is shaking his head.
He's like this every single
day.
Yeah,
I think he may be one of the rare ones that actually is like this.
Every single day.
You're telling me he's not turning it up just a notch?
No, when he wakes his kids up in the morning, what do you want to have? Sugary cereal that'll make you tired? Or some good protein? You make the choice. You live your life.
Now he just sounds like one of those annoying motivational speakers that I see on my Instagram all the time. Look, if you're a player, if you're an adult and you're sitting in a meeting and this guy is saying these things before you go out on a football field, there's a lot of guys that are just going to be rolling their eyes and saying, Jesus, you know, can we get to the end? We're all like this. I mean, in company meetings, how many company meetings have you sat through where you're just like, okay, are they really trying to motivate us? Example, a previous company that I worked at, Vanessa, there may or may not have been, you know, a globe-altering event that took place that may have affected, you know, the earnings of said company. And okay. I remember they had this slideshow, and then they started playing the song Rise Up. I'll rise up.
No, they did not.
Rise up. And then they paused it because they didn't think that the audio was playing after a minute and 15 seconds. So they restarted the Rise Up song again. And to me, it's the same thing as this Campbell speech. Like,
I think his is a little more genuine.
Yeah, they didn't say, like, they were nowhere near as, inspirational.
Yeah.
We'll go to landfill.
Like, come on.
I didn't even know what he said when he said, I'm glad you heard landfill.
We'll play in a landfill.
Go to an effing landfill.
I do think people juice it up in front of the cameras, though, on Hard Knocks. And the worst is when guys are mic'd up and they say things knowing that they're mic'd up. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, some more sports media news, plus the baseball clip you just have to hear. That's next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
TGIF, I just talked about our show tomorrow. We will not have a show tomorrow. That will be on Monday. In some sports media news, Pat McAfee is going to work with Peyton Manning and Omaha Productions to call six college football games on ESPN2, the alternate broadcast style. I'm excited for this. I know I'm biased because I liked watching both of these guys play, but I would much rather watch this than like the myriad of like dude perfect, weird other alternate broadcasts they're doing. Can't do it.
What is going on ESPN right now? There's a bunch of guys jumping around on pogo sticks. I'm mesmerized by this.
It's the Ocho.
Oh, it's
yesterday was the Ocho.
Last night.
Yeah.
Actually,
Paul's ADD is incredible right now.
It's so bad. I mean, sorry. It's Friday.
Especially because I know what he's about to bring up and is the most, like, just where his brain goes is incredible.
Where did you think I was going to go? How about you take it, Sean? If you know me so well, you take
a
it
lot
there.
Of a lot of people enjoy betting on races and having dogs race. Normally, it's greyhounds. Paul sent a video of a photo finish of corgis.
Damn it! I forgot I texted you this.
A corgis race. Oh, and he forgot he texted.
You do know my mind too well.
Yeah.
They had corgi races last night. It was freaking awesome. Sorry, rewind.
All good. Yeah, I am excited. I think this is actually an alternate broadcast that'll be fun.
Peyton Manning and Pat McAfee.
Six of the biggest college football games. It'll be on ESPN2.
Oh, I thought it was going to be McAfee and his crew, like A.J. Hawk and his crew.
So I do think they're going to be on it too.
Okay, but it will be Peyton and...
And they're going to have a lot of live guests in studio. Yeah. This is the best part. They're not going to do Zoom. So they're going to bring in high-profile guests, fly them to Indianapolis, and do it at the studio, which I think will be a 10 times better
product. That was the worst part of the Manning cast, because there was like a clear delay, and they didn't miscommunications galore.
Yeah, I thought that was good. So I'm excited for that. I think that'll be fun.
And I think McAfee is – I mean, Eli is fun and stuff, but he's – I mean, McAfee's such a better broadcaster, and I feel like he'll get the most out of Peyton.
He's got energy.
Yeah.
He stands for his entire broadcasts.
He does stand.
I'm amazed by that.
But you talk about ADD. He's like well known among the NFL for being one of the most hyper players ever.
Yeah.
So you'd probably get along with him.
Oh, I like Pat McAfee a lot. I like him a lot.
The Angels, not as much as you love corgis, but yeah.
Corgis. I mean, corgis are hilarious. They're so they're so fat with their tiny little legs, and they're cute.
They are cute. The Angels scored 7 runs last night, all on solo home runs, and lost 8-7. That's the most runs all on solo home runs in a game all time. This is per Sarah Langs, by the way.
I'm just so excited that this keeps happening to the Angels. It's so funny. They do something cool, historic, and then they lose. And I know that there's that tweet that went viral where it's Mike Trout hit 2 home runs, and Shohei Ohtani struck out more people with a home run than Tungsten Arm O'Doyle had back in 1924, and the Angels lost 8-3.
If you're Shohei Ohtani, you gotta want to get the heck out of Dodge. You're a generational player that they've changed rules for, that's been an international sensation, and you're on a losing team.
But Orange County might be fun. You know, there's the OC, that TV show. It seems like living out there, it's a different kind of world.
I'm sure you liked the OC.
I actually never watched it.
I didn't either.
Outside of the one scene where they play that song, what to say?
Any idea what he's talking about, Sean?
No, it's the only viral quote clip from that show where, like, someone just out of nowhere pulls out a gun and shoot somebody else, and then they play that music in the background.
That's from Saturday Night Live.
Saturday Night Live, though, made fun of the OC with that skit with Shia LaBeouf and Bill Hader and Andy Samberg.
Yeah, I only know it from the Bill Hader skit.
That's how I watched it first. I had no idea what it was from. It's from the OC. Like, that's an actual scene
in
the OC.
Was that the one with Kristen Cavallari?
No, that's Laguna Beach.
Okay.
I also have not seen that either. I don't know how I knew that.
Yeah, I feel like Paul's watched all the 90210s.
Yeah.
No, I haven't. Amazing.
Really? That is surprising. I would have guessed.
I'd probably like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've never watched it.
Right up your wheelhouse. All right, coming up right now, garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Is this the most Friday I've been?
This is the most Friday you've ever been.
Yeah, I feel very punchy.
It's all good. Spain just banned all public places from setting the AC below 27 degrees Celsius, which is 80 degrees Fahrenheit.
That is ridiculous.
That's insane.
I mean, we always have think pieces that are written in the New York Times annually. Why are you using so much air conditioning? And I'm like, just come down here once and you'll totally understand. And something like this actually does make me concerned from the perspective of sometimes people with good intentions make unilateral decisions for an entire country without thinking about how, I don't know, different regions have different climates. I hope to God that this never happens here.
No, I get so cranky when I'm hot. I can't even imagine.
In Seattle, no one has air conditioning. It's like 33% of the population has AC.
Wait, why?
because it, until like the last couple of years, never got hot. But I remember one day it was 110 there, and I was like, I bought an air conditioning immediately. I was like, screw this. I'm done. I'm never dealing with this again. But man, Spain's a warm place. Like, Barcelona this time of year is 95 degrees probably.
I believe you put this on our rundown. The New York City Health Department memo was brought to your attention. Structural racism and the resulting social and economic inequities increase the risk of heat stress for black New Yorkers. Why did this stand out to you?
I thought it related to the air conditioning.
Oh.
Yeah. That's it.
Oh, the hotness.
Yeah, I just saw that. I was like, okay. I didn't know that that made someone more susceptible to heat stroke, but the New York...
Seems like a stretch, but maybe they know things I don't know.
No, the local government always tells you the truth. Come on, Vanessa. You know that.
You can now buy college football tickets at Costco. Someone tweeted out a picture. Rutgers football, Scarlet
Rutgers,
Knights, two lower level sideline tickets, $99.99.
South Carolina's doing this too, which is also pretty interesting because South Carolina does have a pretty good fan base. Yeah, next time I go to Costco, I'm going to see if they have maybe tickets for an Aggie game or something like that.
How does that work? So the schools probably sell it to Costco and then Costco
probably
sells it to the people?
And they sell, yeah, it's like, you know, you can buy gift cards at Costco. Where you can buy like a square cardboard just board, and there's like a couple of credit cards on it, and you pay less for the credit card, or excuse me, for the gift cards than the actual value that's on the gift cards. I don't know how it works, but yeah, that is a thing.
The Gamecocks thing surprises me. These are $89 for two West Upper tickets. Yeah, I've never seen this before. I didn't know this was a thing. A rugby star almost died after watching one of his teammates after catching his fiance performing a sex act on a teammate.
What the hell? Wait a second. How did he almost die?
NRL star nearly died after losing 2.5 liters of blood when he punched a window.
Oh.
This came after he saw his fiance performing on one of his teammates.
Oh, my God.
2.5 liters. Litres is apparently a lot of blood.
It's liters.
It's liters,
yeah. Okay. Yeah, like litres.
It's just the Australian pronunciation or spelling. Because it's news.com.allstate. It's late. He lost a couple liters of blood there. You know why? Because his teammate was receiving a sex act there, Vanessa. I gotta say, okay, that's a picture of her. What? Am I supposed to?
Yeah, just react. To,
would you lose litres of blood over this woman?
Would you punch out a window for this woman?
I mean, if I walked in on that, I would be mad. No doubt about it. Have you ever had a window break on your hand? I actually, when I first moved into my senior year apartment at Syracuse University, there was a window in my room and it had like a very small crack in it. And I remembered, because the window was open, I was trying to like close it. So I pushed and I pushed and it wouldn't move. So then I put a little extra oomph into it. The thing drops down like a guillotine and the glass, which was plate glass, shattered all over.
That's incredibly scary.
My hand. Oh my God, it was awful. And I should have actually like sued like the landlord for this. So I actually have like a scar here on my thumb because it like just chopped off a bunch of skin. And then my pinky finger, you can still see it. I had to get like 10 stitches in it because it just wouldn't stop bleeding. Like I put a towel around it at first and for an hour, I'm like, oh, okay, this will be fine. I took the towel off and I was still bleeding. It was like, oh, damn. Windows are no joke.
Have you ever punched a wall? You seem like the kind of guy that's punched a wall or two.
I've never punched a wall, but I have hit a wall with the bottom of my fist.
So you hammer fisted the wall.
And guess what? I've never broken a knuckle by doing this.
Also, BMAC wanted me to bring up that you once threw a mouse at a a computer mouse at a window.
I was throwing it at the trash and it missed. No, I was.
Were you angry?
It missed the trash. Yeah, my computer mouse wasn't working.
Okay, so you were angry.
I was trying to hit it. Okay. I was trying to throw it into the trash can, and it went slightly above the trash can, and it hit the window that's sort of like you and I are looking through right now, and it shattered. And I immediately went to the boss and told him myself, and I was like, yep, sorry. And that came out of my December paycheck, and that sucked, where I could not buy anyone.
But at least you took
Christmas
accountability,
gifts.
And at least you didn't lose 2.5 liters of blood.
Litres. I like that you're just keeping with litres, and I like that you're distracting from the fact that I have an anger management problem.
it happens. Coming up on ESPN 97.92.5, you'll hear the Killer Bees, Jeremy Branham, and Joel Blake. Have a great weekend, guys.
Peace!